again, ladies and gentlemen. Now we have a very special panel for all of you. We're going to be speaking to Richie Larea, Daniil Henry, Mark Anthony Kay, Kamal Miller, Samuel Piet, and it's going to be an incredible, incredible opportunity for all of you to get to know our Canadian men's national team. So please, they made history. Put your hands together for the Canadian men's national team. Alright, welcome guys. Just a little bit of housekeeping. We will need you guys to share some mics. So hopefully, if you check behind your seat, you should have some mics on your seat. We've got two? We got two, perfect. And we will have an opportunity for the fans to ask questions. So if you want to ask a question to any of these players, please put your hand up and our mic runners will find their way to you. Let's start off with something that is very important. You all just got back from Europe. Obviously, two games that everyone was looking forward to. Richie, let's start with you. What was that experience like playing against Qatar and Uruguay, and what were your main takeaways?
Yeah, it was a good experience for us. I think very important for us to play against different opponents that aren't in CONCACAF, so we got a good test against Qatar, a good organized team, and we're able to get, obviously, a very good result, and then we play against a top team like Uruguay with very, very good players, and we get to test ourselves against them, and I think everyone saw that we're able to compete against teams like that. It'd be nice to play against more teams like that moving forward now, so it was good. I don't think anyone kind of looked off or anything in our national team showing exactly why we're going to a World Cup and why we deserve the respect, so it was very good.
Amazing. And Kamal, what about you? I mean, it was obviously an experience that was new for the team. What were your main takeaways? And do you have any memorable moments from what happened while you guys were overseas?
It was a very good experience for sure. I think, like Richie said, it's a good step up for us to really show what we can do as a team and what we can do as a nation. It's been a very long time since Canada has matched up against a team like Uruguay, even on paper, just how highly ranked they are. It was a good test for us, and yeah, some of my main takeaways were that we all believe that we're good enough to play. We showed that we're good enough to play against these teams, and yeah, just after the loss to Uruguay, how together we were, the brotherhood, it really showed. I think it was a loss, but it felt like a win, if you know what I mean. It's just going to make us stronger, and leading into Qatar, I think that is exactly what we needed.
And we're just a couple months away, Mark Anthony. Has it sunk in yet that Canada is going to the World Cup? And after these two matches, does it feel a little more real?
Yeah, I think obviously this has been a long journey for all of us, and we're right around the corner from getting to the start of the World Cup. So we're obviously very excited, and I think we're not in shock. We're excited for how the journey's been going, and you know, Kamal and Richie talk about this last camp, how important it was for us to experience quality teams like that we haven't been able to see in CONCACAF. So I think we are truly, truly excited for the World Cup and really, really want to make sure we are taking care of everything before it comes. We're excited. We know our fans are excited. The country's excited. So, we can't wait for November.
And now looking forward to Qatar, obviously you guys are kicking off your campaign with Belgium, who are, for many people, favorites to win the World Cup. You've also got to face Croatia, who are the finalists at the last World Cup. It is a little intimidating, but it's also exciting. And Samuel, I'd love to know, how are you guys planning to prepare against these two giants?
Yeah, we know it's going to be tough games for sure. Even Morocco, you know, is a very good team that we're going to face for sure. But I think the fact that maybe we are, you know, the underdog, and then people see us as the underdogs, it's something that we can feed off, I think, as a group. Having that mentality of nothing to lose, even though, like, you know, they've said, we want to prove to Canada, to ourselves and the rest of the world that we can compete with the better teams in the world, the best teams in the world. So yeah, I think we've been doing a lot of good work, you know, on the pitch and behind the scene to prepare the team to face these teams. The last two games against Qatar and Uruguay were very good tests for us. But yeah, I think Belgium, you know, and especially Croatia and Belgium are going to be different. So just to have that mindset of, you know, not fearing anyone, compete, battle, and obviously, you know, letter quality speaks for itself too, because yes, we're a good team, but we have quality too. We have very good players on the pitch. So I think, you know, if we combine those things, we'll be able to do something good in a World Cup.
And you briefly mentioned Morocco, and Daniil, I would love to get your input on this match, because a lot of people aren't necessarily seeing them as the hardest opponent in the group, but just like Canada, they have a very strong team, and they're also going into their second consecutive World Cup. Last World Cup, they tied Spain 2-2, so they're obviously going to be some difficult opponents. Is it going to be any different preparing for that match for you?
No, you have to you have to really go into each game knowing that you're playing at the international level. It's a pride. More than the tactics, more than the everything that you bring to the table, you play for the badge on your chest. So when you go into these games, you prepare the same way, like every other team does, and know that each team will have, obviously, players who are ready for that next step, who can have that little bit more quality. But we talk about our brotherhood. That's the most important thing about this team. And we've never gone into a game unprepared. So when you put all these things together with, obviously, the quality players that we have, I don't see us going into any game unprepared and definitely ready for the task at hand.
Amazing. Now I want to go through the next question with each of you giving me an input. You guys are going to be facing off against people like Courtois, Hazard, Lukaku, De Bruyne, Modric. Is there anyone you're looking forward to facing? And if you could pick, who would you want to swap jerseys with? We'll start with you, Richie.
I don't know. I guess obviously you said there's a lot of very good players that we're going to be playing against, guys that we've probably watched a lot on TV. So for me, probably Kevin De Bruyne, just because of how good of a player he is. So it'll be, I think, a good moment for all of us. I think that's a guy that the entire group's looking forward to playing against. And when I say that, I don't mean it as like in a starstruck moment. It's more of we're playing against these guys to show them that we can compete with them. We're going to beat them. We're going to play better than them. So it's going to be a good way for us to test ourselves, which I know we're going to be ready for. But yeah, I just think it's going to be a moment that we're going to really enjoy.
Yeah, for me, it's there's not a player I can too much select and say that I want to swap jerseys with. For me, it's just knowing my journey and where I came from, just being at that level with players who are considered world class and the best in the world. For me, that's the accomplishment, and yeah, just ready to show the world what Canada can do.
Yeah, to piggyback off what Kamal said, when you really think about swapping a jersey with someone at a World Cup, you have to remember that you're at a World Cup and it doesn't really matter whose jersey you swap, right? So I'm with Kamal. You know, our journeys are alike and very different, all of us, and finally getting to a World Cup, doesn't really matter whose jerseys you switch with, as long as you played with pride for the Canadian jersey, and whoever's you get, you're still going to be happy. But to be able to be on that stage and soak up that moment, something, you know, kids out here dream of and we've dreamed of as kids too. So yeah, jersey swap, if I have that opportunity, great, but let's just enjoy the ride. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for me, obviously, there's a lot of good players. You know, we talked about Kevin De Bruyne, Modric, and Croatia, but I don't think I'll swap jerseys, because, you know, I want to keep my jerseys. You know, the jerseys that I play with in the World Cup, and just, you know, be able to show my son or my future kids or whatever that, you know, this is the jersey I wore during a World Cup. I've was fortunate enough to be in a World Cup, so yeah. Don't get me wrong, I'll be a bit starstruck, kind of, to be on the same pitch as these guys that I look on, you know, on TV. But I'll for sure take a moment just to, you know, reflect, like they said, on my journey and enjoy the moment of just being at a World Cup.
The only jersey I want is a Kamal Miller jersey. After the World Cup, I have to find out where he's going after a great World Cup short.
Amazing. Thank you, guys. I can really feel the pride that you guys have for wearing the Canadian jersey. So we are definitely so proud that you're representing us. Can we have one more round of applause for these guys? Now, just a reminder, we will be going to audience questions shortly, and we will get back to the topic of the World Cup. But I think what's special about the All-State Soccer Show is that so many kids get a chance to learn from all of you and dream about following in your footsteps. So we're going to go a little bit into your personal histories and how you became a professional soccer player. So, Kamal, let's start with you. Why did you decide the D1, the USA route? How was that process like? And did you ever consider maybe taking the Canadian route or going abroad?
Definitely. I was flirting a lot with joining Toronto FC Academy at a young age and trying that route. But in the end, education was very important to my parents. My dad, coming from Jamaica and not having a lot, education was very important for him. And he always preached to me post soccer, and soccer is not going to be there forever, so I needed something to fall back on. And for me, college soccer at the time felt like the easiest way to reach the MLS. While being at Syracuse right away, I played with a lot of players. Even when I was a freshman in my first year, the senior guys, they were going to MLS right away. So I knew it was a good path to pro for me, and I was cool with taking the long journey and receiving an education at the same time.
And talk to me about the USL PDL. How different was that? What were your main takeaways? And was it different than playing university? What was that like?
Yeah, it was a lot different. It was definitely a higher pace. I played at a very good PDL team in Reading, and it was pretty much a compilation of the best players across college soccer wanted to play for that team. So for me, it was a step up right before my senior season, leading into the MLS draft and stuff like that. So that was a great experience for me.
Thank you. And now, Samuel, we hear a lot about the Ontario development. We obviously are all familiar with Ontario here, but I'd love for you to give us some insight into what it was like for you in Quebec when you were starting out, and what it's like now for young stars that want to follow that.
Yeah, I mean, when I was playing in Montreal in Quebec, obviously younger age, I wasn't part of the Academy of Montreal too. The Academy didn't even exist at that time. It does exist now, so it's obviously a great solution for younger players if they want to, you know, move up the ranks in Montreal, CF Montreal system. So when I decided to move to Europe, you know, the opportunities for me weren't really there in Montreal. I remember second team of Montreal was under 23 and I was 14 at the time, so I had zero chance of playing with them. The structure now in Montreal, CF Montreal, is a lot better. The difference we have with Quebec and Ontario is we don't have everything is owned by Soccer Quebec, and we don't have a private club like they do in Ontario. It's not perfect. There's still a lot of work to do. There's now a league called Semi-Pro. So if you're reaching out 20 years old, 18, and you didn't make it pro, you can play Semi-Pro, which is something that wasn't there before. I think there's still a lot of work to be done in Quebec, but you know, with the structure that we have at CF Montreal, it's better for sure. And you know, the fact that we're in a World Cup now, the sport is going to grow in Canada and hopefully in Quebec too.
Amazing. And now there was obviously another route other than the American university route, which is the Canadian. So Mark Anthony, can you talk to us about the Canadian university route, what that was like, and why you decided to choose that path towards your professional career?
Yeah, so kind of similar to what Sam was talking about in Quebec. At my time, my age group, you know, everyone was kind of funneling into TFC. And if you weren't in TFC at the time, there was really nowhere else you could really play at and get into the pros. So you know, Carm Asako, I don't know how many guys know Carm, but he definitely told me that it was worth it to go to school, do my education, and also, you know, work my way up to hopefully get an opportunity at TFC or, you know, transfer and go to the NCAA. So I'm very fortunate for the OUA at the time because the competitive level, you know, kept us hungry and kept me pushing on, and I was very fortunate to get an opportunity to go on trial at TFC Academy. My biggest thing I would say to any of you kids out there is, you know, there's no timeline, there's no one pathway to get to the pros. It doesn't matter if your friend is at a different team or he's at TFC. You know, it takes time. We all go through different paths. Like for me, I didn't get to TFC till I was 19. And I had a lot of friends who were at TFC since they were 14, 15, 16. And I'm very fortunate and blessed to be able to sit up with these players talking about going to a World Cup. And if I was, you know, left myself to think, hey, look at these guys, I'm not there, you know, maybe I wouldn't be in this situation right now. So for all you kids out there, just don't compare yourself to other people. Just focus on your goals and your dreams, and if you work hard, you can get it. And luckily for me, you know, I had a lot of support people around me who helped me get to TFC and continue to go to the USL and on from there. And again, I'm very grateful to be able to sit up here with guys who have taken different paths and talking about going to the World Cup. So, yeah.
I'm sure for a lot of parents out there, it's comforting to hear that they can still follow an academic career and also play. Was that difficult, being a student athlete?
Yes, I'll say yes, because obviously you have to put 100% into two things. But again, the school systems are set up to help student athletes, you know, so you don't really have an excuse to fall behind in school. Because you'll have tutors and everything like that, and then also they take care of you as athletes. That was my experience. I don't know if Kamal wants to speak a little bit on that.
Yeah, I think the universities, they're set up for you to succeed, and the only way to really fall behind is if you want to fall behind or if you don't put in the work. So definitely don't be scared to take that academic route, thinking that it's going to be too much, because the schools will find a way to have the perfect balance for you and very personalized, so everyone is set up to succeed.
Perfect. And Mark Anthony, one more question for you before we move on from your development. You also ran track and cross country. Was that something that helped you go pro? Was that something that you ever considered pursuing? And why is everyone laughing right now? Talk to us about that time in your life.
I'd like to say, you know, for the young people out there who play soccer, we're very athletic. We cross country is just another way for us to get our energy out. I'm sure our parents throw us in it so that we can come home tired, you know. So my mom did track a little bit, but I just did it because I thought it kept me fit. But I was never going to be good enough to go to Olympics or anything like that. I stopped it when I was, I think, 14, once I got to high school and realized there were such things as running clubs and stuff like that. So it was more of just a recreational thing. Soccer was always my dream and my goal, and once I got to a certain age, I realized I needed to really focus just on that.
Perfect. Now, Daniil, let's go to your start, and I have to read out, because you have been everywhere. From Canada to Cyprus, from England to Denmark, from Canada to Korea, USA, and now you're back. You've had quite the adventure. Talk to us about those experiences and how they've developed you as a player, and then perhaps your favorite place that you've played in.
Yeah, it feels like everything came back full circle. I'm exhausted.
How many languages can you speak now?
One. But no, all my experiences, every country, every coach, every team, every injury, it taught me about life. I feel like lessons of life, life lessons are best learned when you go through them. And I've had some really tough ones over a decade of playing at this level. It's a sport that we can all agree that we all love. And sometimes when it doesn't go the way you want it to go, it takes a toll on us. But I'm so close to living my dream. Many of us probably been around this with the national team long enough to know how far or a glimpse of an opportunity to get there, and then to be coached by John and find that belief, that togetherness, and how we would do it. I've never been coached by a coach that really, really put that passion in my eyes or let me feel that breakthrough that we're going, and we're going to go there, we're going to do it our way. And we've had that mentality from the beginning. So if I'm going to talk about the beginning, I really want to talk about right now, because this is the moment that I'm stuck in. And I feel like all of my football and everything brought me to this place, to be with these guys on the stage and the rest of my teammates. So I think that's definitely my best moment so far going forward.
We definitely cannot wait to see you boys out there on the pitch. Now, Richie, you took the Sigma FC route, and it's definitely something that shaped your career. Can you talk to us about your beginning in soccer, what the landscape was like when you were deciding to go pro, and maybe what takeaways kids can learn from your particular experience?
Yeah, I think a lot of these guys touched on it. When I was growing up, there was obviously Toronto FC hopping around, and guys were that, you know, signed homegrown early, maybe just after Daniil did, that I was friends with and I saw do that. So I think first I want to maybe start off with what Mark was saying. It's very important for you to focus on yourself as a young player and not to look at other people to see what they're doing. So that was the biggest thing for me. And I didn't get into Toronto FC. I didn't get into any of the provincial programs or anything like that. So I was fortunate enough to be able to go play for Sigma FC with Bobby, that's at Forge right now. And it was a very good organization. It helped me be where I am today. They brought the opportunities for me to go to Division I college as well, which was huge for me and my family. Like Kamal said, my parents are African. They're from Ghana. So education, they didn't have that growing up. So that was huge for them to see me to be able to go to school, you know, a little bit away from home in Ohio. And yeah, it was good. It was a great experience. I wouldn't trade it for anything. Yes, would I like to be maybe like a pro like Daniil at the age of what, 16, 17, whatever it was? Yeah, of course. But I had to wait, and I became a pro at 20, you know, and it's still put me in the situation I'm in today. I haven't finished school yet, but I will finish school, so I have that knowledge. And yeah, I think Sigma was a big part of that whole development for me, so I'm fortunate. So yeah, just like what Mark said, it's if you're not with TFC, Montreal, Vancouver, it's not the end of the world. You know, there's other routes, and it's still just as rewarding. I feel like my route, maybe Kamal can speak to it as well. I feel like it's, again, nothing away from like Daniil, Sam, or Mark. I feel like it's so rewarding because not many people can do what Kamal did, what I did, to, you know, stay the path, you know, see guys go pro at such a young age. I want to be playing at BMO Field at 17 like Daniil, instead of being in high school playing for Sigma, you know what I mean? But it worked out, and it's good. So yeah, I just feel like it's very rewarding. I'm happy I did that.
Now you're all going to a World Cup. So I think we will go to our first fan question. If anyone has something they would like to ask the guys, please raise your hand and our mic runner will find you. Got a couple here. So please say your name and then feel free to ask your question.
Hi, my name is Aiden. I just wanted to ask you, when you were in elementary school, you went to St. Cecilia. I just wanted to know, what was your favorite teacher from St. Cecilia?
Talking to me?
Yeah.
I went to St. Jerome.
Okay, what was your favorite teacher from there? How many teachers that like you really liked?
Yeah, probably my Italian teacher, Mr. Torelli. He was also my soccer coach as well, so him.
Perfect. I think we've got one other fan question up here at the front.
Richie, how did it feel like when you touched the ball, and how do you like move with the flow, like, and how you like pass it, and like your body moves with it?
deep question.
Yeah, that is a good question. I sometimes feel like I black out when I get on the field, so I don't really... I mean, it's something I think we've all learned from such a young age. It's basics for us. It's almost second nature, you know, for... You're looking at four other guys on the stage here where it's seamless for them to get on the ball. You know, that's, I think, part of the DNA of our national team. We want to be good with playing with the ball, so... I guess a first touch is very important for guys like us in this position and the way that our national team wants to play. So, yeah, I guess just the basics from when we were kids and just still doing them to this day.
Perfect. And we have one more.
If there's any tip for soccer, what would it be?
I think actually let's go around and each of you can answer the number one tip for soccer, I guess, for young kids that are playing.
Yeah, obviously there's the cliche saying work hard. I know it's easy to say, but I think it's very true. You know, as Canadian, we're not all gifted. You know, there's only a couple of players that are gifted naturally to be good on the ball and stuff like this. For all of us to work hard, and for me, the best advice I would say is especially at a young age, listen to your coaches. Maybe sometimes when you get a bit older, around 12, 13, there's a, I don't know if I can say it, this, a rebellion where you think, you know more than the coaches and stuff like this, or even your parents if they coach you, but you know, these people are in place to make you a better person, a better player. So just listen to them advice and be disciplined. And that's a great first step for sure.
If I could give any advice to young kids, you guys all watch soccer, I'm guessing, but the things that go unnoticed are doing the simple things perfect. So repetition, passing, first touch. Before you start doing these stepovers and all the fun stuff, do the simple things perfect, and that'll make the game that much easier.
One I will say very quickly, I think, is for every Canadian, us up here as well, is belief. You know, we're on our way to a World Cup, which, if we're being honest here, maybe a lot of people outside of not a lot of guys that weren't within the walls of our national team probably didn't believe that we'd be at a World Cup right now. So I think belief is a number one thing for young kids, you know. Now it's nice because of these guys, little kids, you know, little kids like you can go to your backyard and be yelling Kamal or Mark Anthony, Sam, Daniil, you know, when you score a goal, versus when I was growing up, I'd go to the park with my brother, I'd be yelling Ronaldinho and stuff, you know. So now you have real life idols right up here. So belief, and that can be, you know, many of you young guys 10, 15 years from now, whatever it might be.
Yeah, to piggyback off Richie, belief is the biggest thing. I agree. I think no matter what you do in life, some things are going to go your way and not your way. But if you have belief, you'll be able to push and persevere through it. And I think that's the number one thing. And passion also. If you don't enjoy what you're doing, you're probably not going to end up being good at it. And if you want to be a good soccer player, you got to figure out how to enjoy it, even on the bad days and the good days. So passion and belief is definitely very important, not just for soccer, but for anything you do in life.
For me, I would say have confidence in yourself, self-confidence, and just have fun. For me, personally, I play my best soccer when I'm having fun. It doesn't matter the level or the occasion of the game, I like to have fun. And yeah, just believe you're there for a reason. You really have to be confident in yourself. I can't even count the amount of times in my life I've been told I haven't been good enough to play at this level, or I'll never be a pro, or stuff like that. So yeah, I always just believed in myself and stayed on the journey, and here I am. So that could be you too, believe in yourself.
Now, Kamal, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Our next question. What is it like to play alongside Samuel, not just at the club level, but internationally?
It's an honor to play against, to play with Sam for club and country. At his age, I think he's in the 60s for caps already. So you can just tell what type of player he is. He's going to be around forever. It doesn't seem like he's aging. He's also our captain in Montreal, so it's a great person to learn from and to build those leadership qualities in myself. He's also a great father, so to see that as well. And yeah, he's just the epitome of a good pro and how to have a long career and a successful career. So to be able to talk to a guy like this every day for me is very special.
And now Daniil, Mark Anthony, Richie, the three of you are now at TFC. Was that planned? How did that end up happening, getting most of the men's national team back home?
Yeah, maybe it was planned a little bit. No, I don't think it was planned, but definitely the way it fell together was amazing. We all keep in touch with each other. We all know what's going on with each other's football lives. And, you know, Daniil was at LAFC. I was at Colorado. Richie was at Nottingham Forest. So within a month and a half, we all end up suiting up with the same jersey. But we all were talking to each other on a daily basis, knowing what was going on with each other at each other's clubs. And I don't know, it's just, I'm very grateful to be able to be with these guys on a daily basis going into the World Cup. I just, you know, the brotherhood we talk about, it just fortifies and strengthens knowing that every day I get to see their face. Every day I get to see how hard they're putting work into making sure they're ready for the World Cup, because then it just pushes me and it motivates me. So we're very fortunate to be able to have so many Canadians around us right now. Kamal and Sam, but obviously Alistair's there in Montreal too, and a couple other guys. And then obviously with Hoso, me, Richie, and Daniil, like, this is, you know, we're months away from doing something that's never been done before. It's amazing to be able to share every day leading up to it with each other.
And Sam, Kamal briefly touched upon this, yeah. You have over 60 appearances with Canada. What would you be able to say about the current state of the national team, and where do you see it going in the future?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the national team is obviously at the best position that it's been since I've been part. You know, I've been there for 10 years, same as Daniil, more or less. Actually, Daniil was there before me, so he can speak about that too. So it wasn't always, you know, nice days with Canada, but I think we needed that also to you know, be humble about where we are now, and then, and you know, realize that, look, it took some time, it took some changes too, and what we do now and what are we achieving, we can lose it like this just with the attitude and the effort we're putting in. So obviously, you know, the national team, It's really good right now. You know, going to the World Cup, super proud. You know, hosting the World Cup in 4 years too, 2026. We hope that the team is gonna be even better. You know, at this time. But yeah, there's ambition. There's ambition for now, and all I can say is we're only thinking about now, the moment, the present. You know, we'll think about the past after the World Cup and reflect on what we did well and what we can do better. But yeah, we're super proud of what we're doing so far. But I think we have to enjoy as well, like Kamal and Richie said, we have to enjoy it, because, you know, it's not every day you get to participate in the World Cup. So we have to be proud of ourselves too, but keep pushing and putting the efforts in for sure.
And how much of the success right now do you think is owed to John Herdman? Can you talk about what it's like to work with him?
Yeah, I think what we've achieved, you know, we are the players on the pitch and stuff, but I don't think this would have been possible without John and his staff, because, yes, there's John, there's his ideas, but there's a team behind the team that maybe we don't talk a lot about. You know, like Daniil said, he just brought that belief, you know, that passion that maybe was missing before. You know, enjoying camps when we're together and you know, enjoying the process of putting the work and not take you know, national team camp as a vacation or as an escape with your club, but really time to put the work in and prepare for bigger stuff. So, yeah, he's been, you know, excellent since the first day. Mark Anthony was there with me, with John at his first camp in Spain, so it's been 4 years now. A lot of change, but, you know, he's the hardest working person I've ever met in my life. The most passionate person, so he's the right man for the job, and it's looking good with him for sure.
Yeah, round of applause for John Herdman, making history with the men and the women. Now, Daniil, you said you didn't really want to talk about the earlier days of your career, but can you at least maybe tell us what advice you would give your earlier self, you know, when you first signed with TFC, when you were maybe still dreaming about being a pro? What would be your best advice to a younger Daniil?
I don't mind talking about it. Obviously, signing at 17, still living at home, being the first academy player for TFC Academy, is a big step, because all I knew was Toronto. All I knew was my life at home, living with my parents, and then going through all the growing pains. I didn't have anybody to, from an academy point of view, to see how I should model, how I should have this career. So there's a lot of trial, a lot of figuring out, a lot of mind games, trying to see if am I good enough, I'm not playing, what should I do, am I going to be a professional, how long can I be a professional for? There's a lot of things that went through my mind, but I have a praying mother. I met Julian de Guzman, who to this day is still my mentor. Definitely somebody in Canada football that should be recognized on a higher level. And then just having the ambition to prove people wrong. I went into training, I wasn't the greatest player, but I worked hard. And I always wanted to get better. And I always used that as my fuel. So I wasn't one to talk my way into rooms or ask why I should be playing. I just wanted to work hard and let my action do the speaking for me. So I feel like if there's anything that you ever wanted in life, go get it. Because no one can tell you that you can't do this. So that's all I would tell them.
Just one more question for you, Daniil. Now, a lot of kids, they get injured, they get hurt, and it can be really unmotivating when maybe you don't have a professional team of physiotherapists and doctors and people telling you how to recover, and it can be really tricky to stay in a good mental state. You yourself have had to deal with a couple injury spells. What helps pull you out of that rut, maybe, and stay motivated and not give up and come back even stronger?
Yeah, I detach from social media quite often. But what kept me going every single time is I have a strong family as my backbone. And then the few professionals that I trust and rely on to help me get through it. But first of all, you got to be comfortable and know that in professional sports, these things do happen. So it's what we sign up for. Like, my biggest fear in life was having surgery. And now I've had 5. So it's a part of the game. So we accept that. But recovery and the get back and just making sure that you're doing all the right things to make sure that you can get back to the same level. I think that was the most important thing. Positive attitude and just keeping good energy around you. You'd be surprised how injuries and things start to feel better when you have good energy around you.
Perfect. And now I think we should go to a couple more fan questions. So please raise your hand.
Do you guys have a pre-game ritual, like a thing that you do before the game?
Yeah, I guess I do. I have realized, people don't talk about this a lot, but mental strength is very important in being an athlete. And, you know, I've gone through some ups and downs in my career and found that I needed to strengthen my mind with the help of some professionals. So before each game, I have, you know, a mental reps kind of system I go through. It's an audio Just gets me to focus my energy on the right things, be very clear on what I need to do on the field. And yeah, that's kind of my game ritual.
Do you guys do anything for good luck? Any superstitions, maybe?
For me, I put everything on my left side before my right side. So left shin pad, left sock, left boot, and then right. So that's just what I do.
Amazing. Any other questions? Please raise your hand if you would like to ask. And our mic runner should be going around.
Hi, my name is Camilla. And first of all, congratulations on making it and qualifying to the World Cup.
Thank you.
Now that, like, in less than 50 days you will be at Qatar, how are you putting yourself in that mindset to go and play and compete against so many tough teams, and how are you preparing yourselves to go play?
It's special for sure. I don't think you can mentally prepare for a specific game. For me, it's just football, and I think the way we play, you know, when you're a professional, whether you play a friendly game or a training game, or you're playing in a World Cup game, it's obviously the stakes are different. But for us, it's football at the end of the day, and we always want to be the best version of ourselves, individually and collectively. I think the two games that we had in Europe in the past couple of days, facing Qatar and Uruguay, was really good test and got us prepared to play Belgium, Croatia, Morocco. But I think we've shown that we can compete with these teams, so that gave us a lot of confidence going into that World Cup. And also, yeah, it's, you know, it's 90 minutes of football, 11 against 11. We have quality, they have quality. We know it's going to be a battle, a fight. So for me personally, it's just a soccer game and just to play as best as I can.
Now, Richie, before we continue with more questions, I want to talk about your last season, because you had the chance to go to England to play with Nottingham Forest. What did you learn during your experience there, and were there any takeaways or any differences with North American football that really stood out to you?
For me, I think, and I'll say this every day of the week, I think England is the best place to play in the world in terms of football, and if you have the opportunity to do so, I think it's a really cool experience, you know, just getting to know the culture, the fans, the people, everything about English football. It's, you know, I think what professionals dream of, you know, you wake up and want to play in these type of environments. Yes, hostile and loud and crazy and all of that, but it's, you know, these are high pressure moments for high pressure players and athletes. So, it was good. I enjoyed it. Very good experience. Learn a lot about myself on the field, off the field as well. So, yeah, I wouldn't take it back for anything. It was a very good experience. It's a chapter in my book for my career. We'll see how long it is. And, yeah, it was good, very good.
Great. Any other questions out there in the audience? Please say your name and then ask the question.
Hi, my name is Alice. You're all, like, a big inspiration to, I bet, a lot of people here. So I was wondering, who are your inspirations?
That's a great question.
I'll start. I think to start, my parents, obviously, of course, they're the ones that raised me, brought me up and all of that, and were able to put me into football, get me situated, sorted. So my dad and mom, they work so hard for my siblings and I, so them, and then obviously now probably my new ones are my wife and my son. So I would say those four people are extremely important to me and kind of like my lifeline, bloodline, whatever you want to say.
My biggest inspirations are definitely my parents, my family, but overall just my support system. Like I said, I took the long route to be in this position, to become a pro, and through that journey, there were many nights and days where I wanted to quit and I wanted to pursue something else possibly, but they kept me going. My friends are so important to me. I lived through them. They lived through me. And yeah, it's just the people who I keep around me and bring me that positive energy and positive vibes every day.
Yeah, I would say my biggest inspiration is my mom. You know, I have to always think about how hard she's worked for me and my brothers to give us opportunities to allow us to go and chase our dreams. You know, at the end of the day, it's up to us to decide what we do with it. But she definitely made sure that we could all fight for what we wanted. And, you know, she lives through me now. I don't know if any of you guys have seen her or heard about her, but she's all at the games and she loves soccer. Sometimes I think more than me. And just to be able to give her the opportunity to reward her for all her hard work, to see her son be at a World Cup is a dream come true. And, you know, we've been saying this for years now, and we're so close to be able to give back to the people that have done so much for us. So my mom is my inspiration, and I aim to be an inspiration to the younger generation, to my future kids, to my wife, and everything we want to create as we start our own family. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be simple for me. It's the same as these guys. Obviously, family. You know, my parents, like they said, you know, they, you know, I'm in a lonely child or a lone child, only child, sorry. So I was always, you know, the person that my parents wanted me to perform or just to have success, joy, whatever. And now being a father, that's, I want the same for my kid, you know, just my kid to be happy and stuff like this. So. Yeah, my wife for sure, my kid, my inspiration. You know, at the end of the day, after a good game or a bad game, you go home to these people and they help you, you know, clear your mind, think about other stuff, and they're the one that are gonna stick around in good and bad moments. So these are the people that are gonna be there for forever. So these people are my inspiration for sure.
Same as everybody else.
So the one takeaway, family is everything. That's why these events are so great for all the young kids to come out. Are there any more questions from the audience?
So hey guys, my name's Daniel. Thanks all for coming today. Some of the best advice I was given is to embrace failure. So I'm interested in how you guys overcome your own failures or shortcomings.
That's an interesting question because I think failure is subjective. So it's all based on how you interpret it. We all have different standards that we set for ourselves. I think the biggest thing is out of failure, there's an opportunity to learn. And if you're diligent about every time you fail, to try and take the positives out of it, to make sure you don't make the same mistake again, then failure is just the next step to success.
All right, our next question.
My name is Julian, and the question that I wanted to ask was, who was your favorite soccer player when you guys were, like, kids, like, young?
For me, it was Zidane. Yeah. Big fan of Zidane. His game is just so elegant, smooth. A bit like Richie, just smooth with the ball and improvising. But yeah, one of the best players of all time for me.
I would say Ronaldinho when I first started playing, and then a little bit of Iniesta after that.
I thought I was going to be a midfielder growing up. I used to watch Ricardo Kaká play when he played for AC Milan.
Yeah.
And then once I figured out I was only going to be a center back, I really enjoyed watching Sergio Ramos and Rio Ferdinand.
Yeah. Yeah, my favorite player growing up was Thierry Henry.
Yeah.
Reason why I wear number 14 is because of him. Just the way he
his presence on the field was amazing. He just glided by people. He could do everything. So he definitely allowed me to really have some real love and passion for the game as a fan and use that into my own game. So, yeah.
For me, similar to Daniil, I didn't know I was going to be a center back. So an attacker who I enjoyed watching was Arjen Robben. I support Bayern, and he was there. And more recently, as I became a defender, I would say Paolo Maldini.
Now, Rich, you actually played with Kaká. What did you learn from him?
I think he is the epitome of a good professional. He's obviously won everything in the game and could be the most arrogant guy if he wanted to be, but he was the complete opposite, very humble, grounded. So it was nice for me to see a player of that caliber, which I'd love to get to one day, which is, you know, it's a tough and tall ask, but yeah, he was humble, grounded, and it was nice to see a guy like that be like that.
Perfect. And our next audience question is right over there.
Hello, my name's Jelani. I just wanted to know, how does it feel like to be the players kids look up to now, as you guys looked up to tons of players when you were little?
I never thought I'd be in this position, to be honest. But to be in this position is a blessing, and there will never be a day I'll take it for granted. I think it's special for me because of the unique journey that I had, and it can just show all the kids that no matter what route you take, you always have a chance. You always have a chance to be exactly what you want to be. It took me a while, and it might take you a while. So I think my story alone is inspiration to a lot of kids. So I'm thankful to be in that position.
I knew I could be a professional after my first interaction with a professional. So I know how important it is to make sure that when we outreach, everything we do, how we carry ourselves as professionals, the youth are watching. So I know that any information, any encouragement, and our outreach is really taken to that next level of getting them to live their dream. And all it takes is a simple hello or a conversation of giving them that encouragement that they can make it to the next level.
Was that professional that you had your first interaction with?
So it was when I just got to TFC, not training with the first team yet, but being one of the first players of the academy to get that opportunity. And it would be, if I'm not mistaken, it was Danny Dicchio. And my first interception in that training session, obviously playing as a center back and him being the striker, I knew after that day that professionals are humans. And that's when I knew right away I could be just as good as them, or not, if not better.
Now, I want you to put yourselves a month and a half into the future when you guys are in Qatar and you hear the Canadian national anthem play on that stage for the first time in 36 years. What do you think you are going to feel? What does wearing that jersey, hearing that anthem, mean to you?
Makes my palms sweat thinking about it, to be honest. it's going to be an unbelievable feeling. I just hope it's going to be loud and everyone who's in the stands and at home screaming it at their TV, because we will feel it from there. But just knowing our journey and how long it's taken us to get to this point, it's going to be a huge feeling of just appreciation for the people you're standing beside and everyone who's stood behind them. So personally for me, I'm going to be yelling my heart out. If the TV camera catches me, it'll be some memes probably after it. But, you know, we're proud of our country. We're proud of what we've been able to do. And We want to bring Canada to the biggest stage in the world, so we're going to do it loud and proud. And I look forward to that day we hear that national anthem.
Goosebumps just thinking about that moment. Well, thank you so much for joining us, guys. This was an absolute pleasure. We wish you all the best of luck. And now this may be the last time any of us see them before they go to Qatar, so can we please get your loudest round of applause for the Canadian men's national team?
We are proud of you guys. Remember, we are proud of you.
Thank you guys so much.
We are behind you.